Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Time for us now to get into our Ask a Pastor segment. And as per usual, we invite you, if you have any questions that are baffling and boggling the mind, we have pastors in the Seventh-day Adventist Church who are ready, willing, and able to answer your questions and give you understanding and more confidence in what you believe in. And our question for today is just like one of those questions that need answers. And we do have on the line joining us is Pastor Foster Skinner Chiwanda, who's going to be helping us answer the question. But it's good afternoon to you. Welcome, and thank you very much for agreeing to talk to us.
Good afternoon, and how are you, sir?
I'm well, thank you very much, Mfundis. I trust you are well.
Very well.
Lovely, lovely. Our question for today, Mfundisi, is should churches embrace modern music styles and technology to attract younger audiences?
Strictly no.
Okay, okay. Hello. I'm listening. Also, that wasn't just that was a okay. Okay, perhaps let's break it down in this sense and for this. What exactly is modern music as compared to music that I suspect you are in preference of? What exactly is modern music that you're saying strictly no to?
I looked at modern music.
Yes.
Modern music styles. I found things like jazz, pop, rock, hip hop, electronic, country, R&B. I went on to look at the genres, different genres, music genres, modern classics, techno, reggaeton, heavy metal, rock, soul. Soul includes R&B, pop, jazz, and gospel, which include life and love, music, and funk. I took time to listen to them and also to watch several videos. Looking at what I was hearing and what I was seeing there, I said, this is for entertainment. And it must be for the dance halls or for some entertainment theater out there, but not in church. That's how I concluded.
So I'm listening to you outlining music genres. Do we have a biblical basis to accept or reject genres?
I think the biblical text we can use is 1 John 2, verse 15 to 17. Can I read it?
Yes, please. 1 John chapter 2, verse 3 to 11.
No, just chapter 2, verse 15 to 17.
Oh, 1 John chapter 2,
verse 15 to 17.
Okay. All right. Go ahead, Pastor.
Verse 15. Do not love this world, nor the things it offers you. For when you love the world, you do not have the love of the Father in you. Verse 16. For the world offers only craving for physical pleasure, a craving for everything we see, and pride in our achievements and possessions. These are not from the Father, but are from this world. Verse 17. And this world is fading away along with everything that people crave. But anyone who does what pleases God will live forever. That's the text I would like to give. And the other one, the next one is the 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22. It's a short one. Very, very short one. Verse 22. It says, run from anything that stimulates youthful lusts. Run from anything that stimulates youthful lusts. So what I saw in the different types of modern music, I saw things that would actually stimulate young people into seeking sinful pleasures.
So I was asking about the music, Mfundis. Do we have a Bible text or any guidance from the Bible about music that is to be avoided or accepted?
Maybe we may not have that, but we should know. We should know, because we who are children of God, we need to have wisdom. We must have wisdom. Wisdom
right,
from above.
Right, right.
We must have wisdom from above. We must have the wisdom to judge what is happening around us,
okay.
To judge what we must consume, and to judge what we must accept as part of influences into our own lives.
So
we must have that wisdom.
So what exactly is bad about these genres you're saying no to?
I was looking at the beats. The beats themselves are for dancing. You can't just listen to them. You need to dance. You need to shake yourself. You see, in worship, in church worship, it's not just a matter of jumping around.
Right.
No. It's not a matter of jumping around. I see pastors jumping around in pulpits. I see young people who seem to be dancing around in church to enjoy themselves. That's not the crux of the matter in church. In church is a matter of experiencing God.
Right.
And we experience God through what He says to us in
right.
His word. In His word.
Right.
When His word sinks into our brains, that's when we experience God.
So
but
let me take you to Psalms chapter 149, verse 3, Pastor.
Right. Right.
Psalms chapter 149, verse 3. As a senior pastor, I'm sure you know exactly what this verse is saying. Let them praise his name with dancing, making melody to him with tambourine and lyres.
That kind of dancing is in the Bible, isn't it?
That's right.
Do you think we know how they were dancing in the Bible?
No, we do not know, Pastor. It doesn't tell us how they were dancing.
No, that should be a subject of research. How were they dancing?
There is no Bible verse that tells us how they danced.
Yeah. There's no such. But my question could be, after just reading that verse, I would ask and say, fine, there can be good dancing. There can be acceptable dancing. There can be entertaining dancing. But I must reason and say, if we bring the type of dancing I saw on YouTube today, I was looking at how.
So
do
the
they
issue,
dance
Pastor, with how these
do,
music
stuff. I was saying, how do they dance rock? How do they dance?
That's fine. So
I looked at all that. And
so
I
the
said,
issue is not dancing, it's
you
how
mean,
you dance.
You mean this is what we want to bring into church?
I hear you, my pastor. So you're saying the issue is not dancing in and by itself is not bad. It's how you dance
no,
that is bad.
It's how you are dancing.
That's right.
And what you are dancing to.
All
and
right.
What you are dancing to.
All right. So
how you are dancing and what you are dancing to. What are you dancing to?
Fair enough. So again, let's go back to the what you are dancing to. So when I asked about the music, you say it causes people to dance. So we are agreeing now that there is nothing wrong with music that causes people to dance as long as the dance in and by itself is not objectionable. Fair enough?
My point is, dancing should be at the dance hall.
Well, the Bible here says it should be there in the presence of the Lord.
In the presence of the Lord is not in church.
Let me read to you again, very same book of Psalms, chapter 150, verse 4. Praise him with tambourine and dance. Praise him with stringed pipes. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 4. There is a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 14. And David danced before the Lord with all his might, and David was wearing a linen ephod. Jeremiah 31, verse 13. Then shall the young women rejoice in their dance, and the young men and the old shall be merry. I will turn their mourning into joy. I will comfort them and give them gladness for sorrow. I can go on from this. The Bible is full of God instructing people to dance in his presence because of him.
And if I gave you Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17, it even says, your God will dance over you. With joy over you with dancing.
Absolutely. So God himself dances.
What I wanted you to understand is that the dancing you are talking about, which is in the Bible.
Right.
To me, to my thinking and understanding, I don't know whether I'm right or wrong. It could be a dancing that was in a place where something was taking place, something that was spiritual, but I am not seeing it happening in a synagogue. I'm not seeing it happening in the temple.
But that's
I'm
what
I'm seeing it happening where God's people have gathered place, maybe some place where they are supposed to feast and enjoy. I have no problem with that.
But that's what 2 Samuel tells us, Pastor. 2 Samuel chapter 6 verse 14 tells us that when David returned back with the Ark of the Covenant, he was rejoicing because he had the Ark of the Covenant and he danced. And the verse I'm quoting to you there, 2 Samuel chapter 6 verse 14 says, and David danced before the Lord. The only person who complained about dancing, David dancing there, was his wife Michal. Michal is the only person there that was offended, but God was happy. The prophets and the priests were happy. David was happy. There it's documented that everybody, God never objected. Michal is the only person who was objecting to it in the presence of the Lord, of the Ark, of the Holy Ark of God. I'm not quite sure how we could object to be dancing in the presence of God.
I literally have no problem with that text. It doesn't give me any bother at all.
Right. So you can dance in the presence of the Lord.
But I have a problem with modern music styles being brought into the church.
That's fine.
A big problem there.
So what is wrong about those modern music styles? Let's get into that, Pastor.
Let's get into that.
Right.
The text I read to you, 1 John 2, verse 15,
right,
has talked about the things of this world. And in the process, it mentioned things like pride, worldly pleasure, lust of the flesh.
Yes.
When I was looking at the type of dancing I saw,
right,
the music I heard, and the things that I heard in the music,
right,
I said that this seems to be like sexualized type of
music. I see.
Style.
I hear you.
Sexualized.
Okay.
They are enticing the young people to enjoy their own bodies.
Right.
To enjoy thinking about how somebody looks, how somebody attracts you,
right,
how you are attracted, how you are feeling when you are in somebody's hands,
right,
when you are playing around together, how close you are getting. I said, but now, if these things come to church,
right,
where is God in here?
All right, come with me then, Mfundisi, to the book of Song of Solomon. You know that book has got no God in it. It has no holiness in it. There is no Jesus in that book. But I'm going to read for the people so that they know exactly what I'm talking about. Song of Solomon chapter 7 from verse 1 says, oh, how beautiful your feet in sandals, princess daughter. Your rounded thighs are like jewels, the work of the hands of a skillful workman. Your body is like a round goblet. No mixed wine is wanting. Your waist is like a heap of wheat set about with lilies. Your breasts are like two fawns that are twins of a roe. Your neck is like an ivory tower. Your eyes are like the pools in Heshbon by the gate of Bethrabim. Your nose is like the Tower of Lebanon which looks toward Damascus. Your head on you is like Carmel. The hair of your head like purple. The king is held captive. captive in its tresses. How beautiful and how pleasant are you, love. Four delights. This, your stature. Your stature like is like a palm tree. Your breasts like its fruit. And I said, I will climb up into the palm tree. I will take hold of its fruits. Let your breasts be like clusters of the vine, the smell of your breath like apples, beloved. Your mouth is like the best wine that goes down smoothly for my beloved, gliding through the lips of those who are asleep. I am by my beloved's. His desire is always desire, isn't it? His desire is toward me. Come, 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 my beloved. Let us go forth into the field. Let us lodge in the villages. Let's go early up to the vineyards. Let's see whether the vine has budded. Its blossom is open and the pomegranates are in flower. There I will give you my love. The mandrakes give forth fragrance at our doors are all kinds of precious fruits, new and old, which I have stored up for you, my beloved. And then that's chapter 7. That's just chapter 7 alone, Mfundis. I have not given you all the book. And there I'm suspecting, based on what you said, that it is talking about desires and all of those sexualizing. Then you must just delete the book of Song of Solomon, because there is no God in that book. There's no Jesus. There's no Holy Spirit. There's no righteousness. It's all about sex there and breasts and thighs and what they're going to do to each other.
Yeah. Look, the Bible is an inspired book of God.
Yes.
There is a reason for the Bible, and the reason is one, to counsel us for salvation.
Right.
So when the writer of the book you are citing is concerned, he is revealing something.
Right.
Something between God and his own people.
Okay.
Because the lady there represents
the church,
God's children.
Yeah,
God's children, and the one who is enjoying that relationship with that young lady is God Himself. Is God Himself, and that also can be taken into the spousal relationship between husband and wife.
So it's between God and His people, Mfundisi. What? Explain the thighs there and the breasts and what this man is going to do to this woman in terms of God and these people.
Yeah,
explain how that works out, because
it is simply to say that the man takes pleasure in the woman takes pleasure in the man sexually. That is to say, the relationship, the depth of relationship between the two is such that they are transparent to each other. They are committed to each
Absolutely.
Other. They reserve nothing
Absolutely.
From each other.
So that sounds like the very same R&B and ballads and hip-hop. All of those lyrics that we see in those songs are right here in the Bible. 8 chapters of those lyrics.
But then, my friend, we can take the word of God, but we don't want to bring pop, rock, hip-hop,
that's fine,
electronic country.
So I can come to your church, Mfundisi.
Into our church, we don't want that.
I can come to your church, Mfundisi, and sing from Song of Solomon and sing, oh, how your thighs are round, oh, your breasts, literally from the phone. Will you accept that? will the pastor accept it?
You can sing all that
at your church
from the word of God.
Yes,
but I will not allow you to jump around. and
So you
and bring all your drums and all your electronics.
No, no,
and
no.
Make
I'll,
all that noise. There.
I'll use. I'll use the. I'll bring the use the instruments that I'm mentioned here in the Bible. For instance, and sing them. Oh, your breasts.
Some musical instruments are smart. And they are used smartly. They you know, electronics is not bad. Eh? Electronics, the technology is not bad. Eh? It also can boost the praising of God.
Yeah.
But when you bring in the shake up that I saw young people doing in the musical styles, in their
that's exactly what I'm
styles.
Asking about him for
I,
this.
I made the conclusion that this should not be brought into our churches.
I hear you for this. I want us to just stick to the Bible for now. The Bible is there is a book in the Bible that has 8 chapters that make no mention of Jesus or God or holiness or righteousness. It speaks about sex. And I'm questioning Fundis. Are you therefore saying, if I'm singing literally from this book of Song of Solomon, and when I talk about your breasts, then the women in the church should shake their breasts? Yeah? I talk about your thighs, the women should shake their thighs. Is that's what we're seeing in the chapter, Fundis, that I've read to you. And if we were to go to other chapters, they talk about what they are going to do to each other. It goes to town. So my question is this book going to be deleted because they are doing exactly what we are seeing in these videos that were so upsetting to you?
No, not exactly. I would like to say to you that the intention of God in including that book in the Bible does not tally with the musical styles of modern times.
What's the difference between this? What's the difference between the difference between the lyrics of these musical styles and the lyrics here in Solomon's music? There's no difference.
Okay, if you say there's no difference, the question is, was Solomon writing these things while dancing?
We don't know, Fundis. What we do know is that he makes mention of the things that these modern musicians are making mention of. He says he's going to do exactly what these people are saying they're going to do. He goes to become more graphic.
Yeah. Well, I would like to maintain my point.
Which is what?
That music should uplift us to God.
But this one doesn't, Mfundis. Does this Song of Solomon uplift you to God?
Yes, it does. If you sit down and study it in terms of what is God saying.
Well, we have read the full chapter. There is nothing there. There's no God mentioned there. It's all about a man and his woman and them praising each other and what they're going to do to each other in the fields, right in the early in the morning. Let's go and observe, see if the flower is budded.
Yeah, if the Bible is studied like any other book of literature.
Right.
Then it will not benefit us spiritually because it's just a common book, and what it says, it's similar to anything common around us.
Okay. All right.
But the Bible is a spiritual book.
Yes.
The author of this book in the ultimate is the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Okay. And because the Holy Spirit has a purpose for the book of Song of Solomon, we must zero in on that purpose for us to understand the love of God that he has for us.
Okay. So in the final analysis, Mfundisi, are you saying you can sing lyrics that are the lyrics that we're seeing here in Song of Solomon at church? You can sing about breasts and thighs and what you're going to do to a woman to a man at church. Is that what the pastor is saying?
My point there is that we can use the word of God from Genesis to Revelation in all our music in church, but we must not bring in music styles that are of the types we are seeing today.
I thought we agreed, Mfundisi, the styles are not mentioned in the Bible.
Not to try to entertain. Because you see, the question is saying, should churches embrace modern music styles
right.
and technology to attract
okay.
younger audiences?
Right.
To attract
right.
younger audiences. What is it in the Book of Solomon that would attract younger audience?
Well, in the Book of Solomon, Mfundisi, the activity there.
What is it in the book?
Yeah, I'm sure.
What is in the book of Solomon that would attract young? But when you talk of the modern musical styles
right.
attracting younger audiences, and then churches trying to attract younger audiences by bringing all that is out from outside there, I am saying, let Jesus Christ attract our
right.
young people.
Right, right. Yeah. Okay. All right. So
let Jesus Christ attract our young people. Let the Holy Spirit and the word of God
yeah.
attract our young people, but not the type of music that is popularized.
Meant to attract
there.
Them. Okay, I like that. So it should be Bible-based and Christ-centered and not youth-centered.
Yes. That's it.
Ah,
that's it.
Lovely.
Actually, the youths who are attracted to Jesus Christ will understand within themselves that they come to church for right. the word of God.
Right. Okay. All right. Pastor, thank you very much for your time again. As usual, riveting stuff. Riveting stuff as usual. Thank you very much, Mfundisi. Have a wonderful day, brother. See you tomorrow.
God bless you. God bless
you. Yeah, I tell you. Yeah. Yeah, man. This is the faith that we have accepted, and we must, I want to remind you this, we must abide by the will and the ways of God, not the wills of man, not the ways of mankind. And if you heard the pastor quite well, before you seek to sing what you think you can sing because you've seen it in the Song of Solomon, make sure it's God-centered. If we know and believe that God inspired Solomon to write the book of Song of Solomon and all that he wrote, when you write, you better be inspired by God as well, and not by any other spirit, but by God. I like what Mfundisi has said. Got it, Mfundisi, appreciate it.
You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.